Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Well, today we're starting a new series called Reroute. As you can see on your screen, Reroute. We're going to talk about a God who loves to reroute people. If you ever had your GPS on and you were driving somewhere on your phone or a GPS system, you probably know that whenever you take a wrong turn, you get that little annoying voice, right, on your phone, reroute and reroute, reroute, and that British lady or says reroute, okay. And then you're already stressed out because you made a wrong turn and she's yelling at you, telling you need to reroute. But if you get lost, that's a good feature to have, because doesn't matter where you are, she can reroute you to the place where you need to go. Well, I want to talk to you about God who loves to reroute people. In the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about God wants to reroute your financial life. God wants to reroute your relationships. God wants to reroute your health and your healthy lifestyle. I mean, we're going to talk about all of it. And today, I want to talk about God wants to be the GPS of your life. God wants to be your GPS. Life, just like driving on the road, if you go to a place you've never been before, it would be dumb. How many of you would agree that it would be dumb to go to a place you've never been before, to a big city, big country, and have no map, right? Well, how much more life is complicated? Do you know that life is like a road that has many twists and turns, has dead ends, has bumps and potholes, right? Life, we need GPS. What does GPS stand for before I say this? GPS stands for Global Positioning System. God wants to be your God positioning system. Lesson today. Somebody would say, Pastor Alex, why would you talk a lot about GPS? You know, when I look at the preaching of Jesus, he used a lot of practical, non-spiritual things. Like he said this, the kingdom of heaven is like fishing. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl hidden in a field. A kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So Jesus would draw lessons and analogies from practical things that people experienced every day. And so I believe this. I like to believe this. If Jesus lived today in our time, he would say the kingdom of heaven is like GPS that helps you get from place A to place B. So I think it's going to be spiritual when I talk about GPS. But I want to twist it a little bit and says God positioning system. Do you have GPS in your life? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Do you see that? God wants to be involved on the journey of your life, on the road of your life. He's not just interested about eternity. He wants to show you the path in this life and then give you the eternity. A few years ago, I flew into Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas airport. I like buying stuff on the auction. Every year, I buy things further and further away. And one year, I bought this old boom truck on eBay, and I had to go to Dallas, Texas. I picked it up, and on the way back, I mean, it was hot. And on the way back, I mean, everything broke down. The starter broke down, so I couldn't turn off the truck. The front tire blew up, and I had to stay in this small cockroach-infested hotel. I got there at night. I didn't see how bad it was, but the air conditioning wouldn't work. So I just used that thin blanket, you know, the cover. The air conditioning didn't work. I had to take a cold shower just to get some sleep. I'm stressed out. The truck is not running that great. In the morning when I wake up from that hotel, I'm hot, and I go to the parking lot. And here I see people drying noodles in the middle of the parking lot. They're making their own noodles, drying them in the middle of their parking lot. I'm telling you, I wish I took a picture. Maybe I did. I have to find it for you. But that's the kind of hotel it was. I'm glad I didn't eat breakfast there. So I'm driving back, and I'm figuring I'll be home about 10 o'clock in the evening. And finally, I drive north and get to Topeka, Kansas. I get there. And that year, with my luck, the roads flooded. I-29 flooded from Kansas City to Sioux City. On the road, I see these signs that say, reroute, I-29 is closed, find a different route. So I look to my GPS, I look at it, and it says, well, you got to go through Kansas City, go east of Kansas City, and come back this way. It's going to be maybe hour and a half longer than I expected. But who listens to GPS, right? Guys, you know, we don't like following direction that well. And so I decided I'm going to make my own path. And so here I am, you know, kind of figured out. I'm going to go north from Topeka, Kansas, and go this way. And I started driving, thinking, called my wife. I said, I'll be home at about 11 o'clock in the evening. That will give me plenty of time if everything goes good. And so I start driving. And after a while of driving, I noticed there's not a lot of people driving that route. Actually, once in a while, a farmer will pull over in front of you really slow, and you'll be like passing him on one-lane road each way. Instead of stopping, what do when we're lost? We keep going. We keep on driving. Amen? It takes me hours. You know, from about Kansas City to Sioux Falls, about 5 hours. Well, I've been on this road just going north to Omaha. And I've been like going through these little roads and trying to find my way. When I get 30 miles from Omaha, I get another sign. Those one LED signs they put temporarily on the road. The bridge into Omaha is closed. It's flooded. The Missouri River is flooded. So I'm like 30 miles and it says reroute to the east again. And I'm like, I've been lost this far. And I knew I was lost. I'm just going to take another chance. Isn't it interesting that when we are lost, we don't mind getting even more lost? When we are in some addiction or some situation, we're like, oh, we're already messed up. Let's just keep doing it more. How much sense does it make? Well, I know how you feel. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. My cord on my phone is not working, so I have to hold it, you know, together. And GPS is draining all my energy. I get to the bridge, not following the directions. And a few times it said, reroute, the bridge is closed. Like 30 miles away, I get to the bridge, and these huge yellow lights, police cars saying, reroute, go a different way. And now there's no way to go east. And I'm like, there's got to be a bridge just a little bit off. I'll take that one. So I drive west, away from where I need to go. I need to go northeast. So I drive west, hoping there's a bridge. There is no bridge till I get to Lincoln. So I'm in Lincoln now. This is like 10 o'clock in the evening now. I'm supposed to be home in like less than 1 hour. I drive to Lincoln. I'm tired. I'm sweating because the truck is old and doesn't have any air conditioning. So I take a gallon of water and I pour over myself just to cool myself. I get to Lincoln. I don't know if I should pray or cuss anymore because I've been praying and nothing is happening. Finally, I get to Omaha. All the roads are messed up. Instead of getting home, long story short, at 11 o'clock in the evening at the most, I got home at 5 in the morning. Yeah. I was so lost, people. And I usually am good at directions. I was so lost. I was so lost. Have you ever been lost while driving? Have you ever been lost in life? If you're like most people, if you're like me, you have probably been lost in life once or twice. And life is not like a road. It's kind of like a road, but it's way more complicated. It's more like a maze. And sometimes it seems like we go in circles and in circles and in circles. And God says, this journey is not meant to be lived without GPS. Just like you wouldn't go to a distant city without GPS, God says, don't live this life without me. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. God wants to be your GPS. Life is never smooth. How many of you know that? It's never smooth sailing. It's usually bumpy. There's dead ends. When we were teenagers, when I was a teenager, I thought, you know, I got life figured out. When I got to 20s, I was like, man, this is more complicated than I thought. My parents, and when I'm 30 now, I'm like, man, my parents are the wisest people in the world. Because when I was 12, I thought they were the dumbest. Right? Haven't we all been there? So God wants to show us that we cannot live life without Him. Sometimes instead of slowing down and asking for directions, seeking his will. We turn on the music and act like we got it all figured out. And we're driving in circles. It's like Israel. They're just walking around the mountain. Just walking around the mountain because they forgot their God. Listen, if we need GPS to drive, this is the big point. If we need GPS to drive to a city we've never been to, how can we say we don't need God positioning system to live a life? Isn't life more important than the road? Amen. Now let's talk about being lost. Do you think people get lost on purpose? I don't think so. No one tries to get lost on purpose. So why do we get lost? Number one, the simplest reason, because we don't follow a map. We say, I don't need a map. I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm pretty cool, pretty smart. I got a high school diploma or a college or whatever. You start doing it without him, and then you get lost. Another reason we get lost, because we take a wrong turn. And because there's no one to reroute us, we keep going in the wrong turn, hoping somehow it will all work out. But guess what? There's so many people who are hurting today. So many people who are lost today is because they took a wrong turn and they never slowed down enough to ask God, God, what should I do? We get lost because we get distracted. Sometimes the world distracts us and we think, okay, I'll just stay over here for a while and just enjoy myself on the road. And before you know it, you're lost. We get lost because we're looking for a shortcut, right? I was looking for a shortcut, and instead it turned out to be a 21-hour trip, or it should have been like 12 or 13-hour trip from where I was driving. Sometimes we look for a shortcut, and we fall for get-rich-quick schemes. Amen? We want to get rich fast. Sometimes in ministry, we look for shortcuts. We think, God, you will not have to take me through all that David went through, running from Saul, all that Joseph went through, all that Esther went through. You're just going to take me from here and just place me miraculously, magically in my calling right away, in my purpose right away. And God says, no, 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 no. I'm going to take you there in time. So don't look for shortcuts. Do it the right way. Maybe in marriage you want a shortcut. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll just marry anybody right now. First guy comes along. And don't wait for God to bring you the right person into your life. The reason we get lost is because we like sometimes to take shortcuts. Last one. The reason we get lost is because we're following somebody else. You know, God has a plan for each and every single life in here. And if you start following somebody else's plan, you look at somebody's life and you say, that's glamorous, I'm going to do what they do and I'm going to follow them. Well, God might be leading them that way, but for you, he's leading you to a different way. How many times have I tried to be like somebody else? Tried to be like this preacher, and it never works because it's never me. And maybe you're trying to be like a music star or like a movie star or like another businessman. Listen, follow God's plan for your life. That's the best thing you can do. And that's the happiest you will be. It doesn't matter how great and glamorous the world says it is. Follow God's plan for your life. Have him lead you. And the thing is, God loves to lead his people. God wants to work with you. Listen, he said in Jeremiah, he says, I know the thoughts I have for you. For you, not for him, not for her, for you. God has direct plan for you, says the Lord, to prosper you, to give you peace, to give you a great future. God's thoughts for you, God's plans for you are so many, he's not going to run short. Bible says it's as many as sand on a seashore. That's how many thoughts he has for you. So why would you follow somebody else? Why would you want to compare yourself to somebody else? Be you. Your family doesn't have to be like somebody else's family. Just be your family with all your problems and all your stuff. Why would you want to put a mask on and be fake and try to act like somebody else? Be you. God created you. He has a plan for you. Everything he created is beautiful. The word of God says that. So why be somebody else? Because if you do try to be like somebody else, you will find yourself lost. You'll waste years trying to be like somebody else, and then you'll end up saying, I think I'll just be me. I've been there. Trust me. And now I said, God, I'm going to do everything you tell me. I'm not going to look at anybody else. Sometimes for pastors, the temptation is to look at other ministry bigger than yourself and see what they're doing and do what they do. I'm done with that. I'm going to do what God tells us to do. The way he created me, I got an accent, deal with it. Okay, I'm just going to be me. If you miss a word, come and ask me. Or ask your neighbor. Amen. So don't try to be like somebody else. Be you. Be who God created you to be. Listen, no one starts in life thinking, I'm going to get lost on purpose. Amen. Nobody starts in life saying, I'm going to be a bitter old person when I grow up. I'm going to be mean, the meanest, the ugliest, the angriest spouse I can be. I'm going to be a bee. Nobody says that, right? When I grow up, I'm going to get in debt up to my eyeballs when I grow up. Who said that? No takers. When I grow up, I'm going to get a divorce. Nobody says that, right? When I grow up, I'm going to get a few addictions just to ruin my life for fun. Nobody says that, right? Nobody says I'm going to grow up and make some bad choices, you know, just to be cool and bad. Nobody says I'm going to grow up and be a bad father or mother. Nobody grew up and says I'm going to go to jail. But why do these things happen to us sometimes in life? We get lost. And listen, you can be a good person and still get lost. I don't think people get lost on purpose. I think we just live in a sinful world. Devil is tempting us, and we're just human. We're not perfect, and God knows that. Bible says this, that God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world. He sent him to save the world. John 3:16, guys, put that on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not get lost or perish, but have everlasting life. The devil likes to tell you that when you're lost, God is against you, but that's a big lie. God is for you. He did not come to the world to condemn you, but to save you. Hallelujah. I just praise the Lord right now. God is in the business of rerouting people. Jesus Christ did not come for the healthy. He did not come for the good. He did not come for those who are righteous. He said, I came to rescue sinner. I came to seek and save that which was lost. Never let the devil or religious people or anybody else tell you you're beyond God's rerouting. God loves to reroute people. He takes people who are lost and he loves to reroute them and put them back on the track of life. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. If you follow me, you'll never be lost. There's a story in the New Testament when Jesus was going to Judea. And Bible says that Holy Spirit rerouted him to go by a Jacob's well in Samaria. He didn't have to go through there. Actually, it was out of his way. And so Jesus sits down by the well, sends his disciples to buy some food. And here comes a Samaritan woman. This was in the middle of the day. Jesus strikes a conversation with her. And the thing is, what you got to know about this woman, she was not the woman who had the greatest reputation in town. Usually people went to get water early in the morning or late at night by the well. Her reputation was so bad. She was so off the road of life that she just didn't want the glances of people. She didn't want wife saying, husband, don't look this way. Kids, look at that. She didn't have the greatest reputation. What we find out later, that she was a woman whose marriage life was not accomplished, was not very successful. Jesus reveals that she had 5 husbands, and she says, yeah, I did. And he says, the one you're living with now is not even your man. Yeah, she says. And in that culture, that was a big deal. And notice, Jesus does not condemn her. He does not rebuke her. He does not judge her. Remember, he did not come to judge, came to save. This was a woman, probably had a commitment issues. Must have been pretty woman to be married 5 times, right? Probably very pretty, and even the one who she was with. Probably a little older already because she 5 marriages. This is the 6th one. We don't know much about her. And it's easy to judge people because we don't know the whole story. But notice, Jesus, he could judge her, he doesn't. See, humans, we judge based on limited information that we see. God judges, and let me tell you this, God judges the heart, and he's got all the information. He doesn't know, maybe she's been abused. Maybe she's been abandoned all of her life. You don't know what happened to this woman. You don't know what happened to her in her life. So you can't judge her. And Jesus doesn't judge her because he came to save. He came to reroute. As he begins to speak to her, they debate about how to worship God. And he sets her straight. He says, it's not on this mountain or on that mountain. You worship God in the spirit and in truth. Whatever you are, that's where you worship God. And her heart begins to churn. And she runs into the city. And listen to this. Imagine a prostitute runs into your community and says, I found the Messiah. And you'll be like, what? You found him? If anybody were to find him, it wasn't going to be you. But yet she convinces them, come see this man. They come out and Jesus changes their lives. Spiritual awakening comes into that Samaritan town. And the whole community is saved, Bible says. When he found her, she was off the road. When he was done with her, she was a worshiper of Jesus. That's what God does. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. She was on her own path, and he rerouted her life. One encounter with God will reroute your life. Today is that day for you. He wants to come and become your guide. He wants to guide your path. But you have to let him in. He's not going to force himself into your life. There was another woman. She was caught in adultery. And we don't know her story either. And they bring her before Jesus. And these religious men bring her and throw her down on the ground. And says, we need to stone her. We need to kill her. And Jesus says, who's without sin? Throw the first stone. And everybody walks away. And he looks at her and says, woman, where's your accusers? He says, Lord, there isn't any. And he says to her this, I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you. He actually, go and sin no more. How cool is that? That's our Jesus, people. That's our Jesus. He loves to reroute people's life. Doesn't matter how bad. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. He wants to take and reroute your life and put you on a path of righteousness. On a new life. Paul of Tarsus was a bad dude. He was persecuting Christians. He actually killed one of the disciples of Jesus, Stephen. He was stoning him to death. He was on a road to Damascus, ready to go and imprison and kill Christians. Jesus decides to do an intervention, appears to him on a road, and says, they have encounter, pretty much. Make a long story short, from a murderer, persecutor of believers. He turns him around, reroutes his life, and makes him the greatest apostle, in my opinion, in the New Testament. That's what my Jesus loves to do. That's what my Jesus loves to do. The guy goes on and writes 2/3 of the New Testament. The killer, the murderer of Christians. That's what God loves to do. And you think you're beyond, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. You think you're beyond reach? Some of you are Christian, but you're stuck somewhere and God wants to reroute your life. Some of you are unbelievers today. You don't know what you believe in. God wants to reroute your life and put you on a path of truth. He came so you wouldn't be lost to help you find a way. He says, I am the way. He says, I've come to give you life to the fullest. How many of you know people in prison are alive, but they're not living? How many of you know that? Would you agree? Jesus says, I've come not to just give you life, existence. I came to give you life in abundance to the fullest. If you trust your life unto him, it doesn't mean it's going to be an easy life. Paul didn't have an easy life. Joseph didn't have an easy life. But boy, Daniel didn't have an easy life. Being thrown into the stinking lions, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in a fire. But guess what? Every life I see in the New Testament, in the Old Testament that encounters God, God is in the business of rerouting. He takes fishermen and reroutes them and makes them a fisher of men. And maybe you're sitting today and you have these thoughts, God, what do you want me to do? All you need to do is say, God, become my GPS and tell him I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. That's been my prayer lately in the last 3 months. God, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. And listen, sometimes it's hard because he asks you to do things you don't really want to do. Hallelujah. King David, called by God, but really went off the road. Got into the ditch, went through a cornfield, got into some soybeans, went in through a manure pile, got stuck in a little creek, crashed in a creek, got out, got in the mud. I mean, David really messed up. More than you can ever mess up, actually. Commits adultery, kills her husband, really messed up. This is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who wrote the Psalms. This is a hero. But God does not abandon him where he's at. God doesn't say, you're lost way too far, David. How could you do that? God says, allow me, David, to reroute your life. And David says, yes, I will. You know what repentance is? It's saying, God, I can't do this. Reroute my life. Reposition me, God. Put me on a new road and let me drive to the destiny that you have for me. And God takes David. He restores him and puts him back, and David finishes his life well. One of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. The line of David, Bible says, will rule forever. We serve a mighty and awesome God who loves to save, who loves to forgive, who loves to put us on the path that he prepared for us in advance. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. If you're lost today, if you walked and listened, we all have, and multiple times in our life, believer or non-believer, we all have gone off the track. Sometimes we just needed a break from God. Have you heard people say, I just need a break from God? Sometimes we just go, I was driving from Cleveland in the past few weeks. I just got tired and we just pulled over in a rest area. But how many of you know, sometimes in life we pull over. We just say, God, I just need to pull over and just stick over here. And the interesting thing about GPS, it says, turn left, get back on the road, blah, blah, blah. Turn left, get back on the road, turn left. So we need God to be that. And when we get off and he says, rerouting, make a U-turn, turn left, turn right, whatever you need to go. We need God to be that for us. In the Bible, God calls people sheep. I know it's not a very glamorous term. We don't like to think of ourselves as sheep. We're great Americans. Come on. We're not sheep. What are you talking about? But you know, the thing about sheep, if you kind of gather them together and just leave them alone, they start scattering. And then before you know it, they're so gone that a shepherd has to go and look for them. And that's what we do. We like to get off the road for some reason. We like to think the grass is greener somewhere else. Then we find out it's septic tank, and that's why it's so green. God wants to reroute your life. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about God rerouting your life. Don't miss it. Bring a friend. Next week, food and everything. Bring a friend, because this is going to be a life-changing series. So my question is, who will be your GPS for life? Is it going to be you? And if you say, yeah, do you really think you're smart enough? I don't think so. We're not that smart. We're not. If we've gone through this road before, if we reincarnation, if we did it before, you know, maybe. But even then, everything is new. Everything is changing, right? We don't believe in reincarnation, obviously. But we haven't done life before. Every day we live, today is a new day. Tomorrow, if God gives us, it'll be a new day. Yesterday will never repeat. But we don't got life figured out. So don't make yourself GPS of your life. Don't make other people GPS of your life either. Don't follow people. Follow your guiding light, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord to lead you. Listen to me. Trust in the Lord to lead you with all your heart. Do what he tells you. Now, if you don't know the Lord yet, today I want to give you an opportunity to know him. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You don't have to be lost for 10 hours on a road where you should have got there way earlier. One of the features of GPS, it tells you where the traffic jams are. You can avoid them. It tells you where the roadblocks are. You can avoid it. Even tells you where the tolls are. So you can avoid that. Amen. God wants to be that for you. He'll tell you where the traffic is so you don't have to go through and wait for hours where you can be well off on your destiny. Isaiah 48:17-18, and we're almost done. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, meaning if that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river. There's nothing more frustrating in life than being lost and not knowing where I'm going. What's the purpose of my life? He says, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the wave of the sea. Continuous righteousness just covering you, just covering you, just covering you. Peace like a river, just flowing and flowing continuous. If you make God your GPS.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.